one night, amen, and just poured out his spirit. And that was the first time I had ever really, 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 besides just getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, that was the first time I had really felt the manifestation of the Spirit move in such a way as that, amen. And so I know how it is. You know, you get attached to certain things, amen. Well, Neil shows one of the places I'm just attached to. Amen. If you stopped having convocation here and started having it over Joplin or down somewhere else, McDonald County or something, we'd swallow hard and we'd go there, amen, and be glad to see all of you, but it just wouldn't quite be the same, would it, amen? But we're sure glad to be here, amen, right here in the presence of the Lord today, amen. Glad to see you, Brother Snow. Praise the Lord, preached good the other day. He did a bad thing. He got down there right amongst you. Well, he can get away with that because he's big enough you can see him. Amen. If I get down there, you won't be able to see me. Amen. I'm going to step here if that's all right. Amen. This is a better place to hide behind anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. I remember one time Brother Mark Hudson preaching at convocation. Brother Branham let him up there for you, sir. Preaching up there, and I don't know what in the world he preached on besides everything. He always preached on everything back in, amen. But he hit hard on you couldn't vote Democrat and be saved, amen. Well, praise God. I'm glad to see some of us ain't backed up at all, amen. No. Amen. I love this place and I love these people, amen. I love you today, and it's always a treasure for my wife and son and I to get to come back to Neosho. Amen. Would you look in your Bibles this afternoon to John? Amen. Brother Taylor the other day got on to me, just lined me out. Did it right in front of Brother Michael back there. Amen. And Michael felt so bad about it. Brother Taylor burnt me so hard. He come up and apologized. I'm sorry I was listening to that, brother. Brother Taylor told me, though, don't you do like you did last time and get up there and get screaming and then all of a sudden get out there whispering, because people can't hear you. Well, amen. I'll try not to do that. Amen. I tried not to last night. I don't know if I did or not, but I'll try not to do what I did do last night. I'll try not to go so long. Amen. I'm sorry about that. Amen. I don't like being so long. I like to try to say what I need to say and get out of the way. But I appreciate your patience. Appreciate the mercies of the Lord. John chapter 20. Would you stand this afternoon while your Sonic burger settles? Amen. Your onion rings or whatever you had. Amen. Maybe you went to Nancy's today. I don't know. Amen. But John chapter 20, verse number 21. I'm going to read verse 21. In the middle of 22, I'm going to leap over to 24. So don't lose me. Just leap with me. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now, that right there, that's close enough. That sounds missionary stuff to me. Amen. I like that. Okay. "Even so, send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Amen. He breathed on them, but Thomas wasn't there when it happened. Amen. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see his hands, in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. And we pray the Lord will help us today to minister. Praise God. Blessed are they, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But now, when Jesus is not speaking directly, he's still talking to or in the presence of Thomas, but he's making reference to a group of people that is not just Thomas. When he's talking to Thomas, he said, "Because thou hast seen me." He put that personal pronoun, me, in there. But blessed are they that have not seen. He didn't say me. He just said those that have not seen, okay? Then over, flipping over the page, or my page, you've got to flip it over there. "And truly, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." So there we begin to see that not only it's some of the things that Jesus said, amen, but it's what's written in the book, okay, the Bible. I know that's talking about the book of John there, but may we go ahead and stretch it out to all the four Gospels and to all 66 books of God's Word, amen. There's many other things that are not written in the book, amen. But these few, I know it's a big book, I know the Bible's a long book to sit down and try to read it through at one sitting, but there's very few things, really, when you stop and think about all the great things that God has done in the course of human history. There's very few things, really, that are wrapped up and recorded there for you and me to read. Amen. But these few things are written that you might believe, and let me just say, in Jesus. Amen. Now, if the Lord will help me this afternoon, I would like to talk about Thomas. Amen. How many of you preachers, you ever preach, read your verse, just for instance, you read something, you know, the devil there in the garden said, "Hath God said," you know, and then you say, now, I know that was the devil, and I know he was saying such and such, trying to inspire doubt, you know, in the hearts, but I'd like to turn that around and preach it a different direction. Have you ever done something like that, you know, and you went a whole different direction? Well, hey, man, I'm not going to try to do that. That's dangerous, because if you don't really set the stage good. So I'm just going to jump on the bandwagon today, if the Lord will help me, and I'm going to go ahead and do what everybody else always does, and we're going to just ride hard on top of Thomas and make him look real bad, amen, as doubting Thomas, amen. I've heard some guys that could preach, turn it around, you know, and you thought, well, hey, Thomas wasn't such a bad feller, amen. But I'm going to stick with what we're all accustomed to and just go ahead and let you think he is a bad feller, amen, being a doubtful man that he was. But I'd like to look today at something Brother Norris preached so well this morning, like he has every morning this week. I'm not trying to present the balanced approach. I'm not trying to present, certainly not the pessimistic view, amen, of what he said. I hope, I feel like, I trust that what I have to say this afternoon will go right hand in hand and will help us, amen, to get to that victorious place that he was preaching about. Amen. I really, really have enjoyed, amen, all the preaching this week. But friends, can I tell you today, amen, that there, you know, we've had that, you might have heard that phrase, seeing is believing. That's a dumb thing, amen. That is not right. I remember when I was a little kid, and I might get shot for this, but when I was a little kid, little bitty guy, my mom and dad, they had a television, and I remember sitting there in front of the television. I remember watching Batman, you know. I liked Batman, and na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, you know, that old thing, if you was unsaved back then, too. Well, I remember watching Batman, and I saw all kinds of neat things, amen. I mean, I liked some of that stuff I was seeing when I was a little kid. But even as a little kid, I had sense enough to know that that wasn't real. Amen. So I didn't believe it just because I had seen it there before my eyes. Amen. And I hope that we do not fall into that category, but I'm afraid that many people do live in that state of seeing is believing. Amen. I like it when I can see it. I like it when God does things in a great and a mighty way. Amen. I like to experience. I like to be able to reach out and take a hold. Amen. They say Missouri is a show me state. Well, amen. That's okay. That's a nice little motto to put on your license plate. Amen. But be real careful about living that way in the spiritual, praise God, amen. We have all seen the Lord in a certain way, amen, but we've not seen Him with our physical eyes, amen. Somebody said, you know, somebody was doubting the reality of the Lord one time, and a man looked at him and said, "Well, you know, do you have a brain?" And they said, "Well, sure I do, you know." And he said, "Have you ever seen it?" And while they stuttered around, he said, "Then you don't know if you've got one or not, just because you haven't seen it, amen." Well, brother and sister, we've all seen the Lord, but not with these physical eyes, amen. But spiritually speaking, going beyond just that initial thought, there's a
lot of things in God's Word that we've never seen. Amen. But does it mean we ought not believe? Amen. The brother was preaching this morning, Brother Norris. Amen. Thank God. I mean, I liked what he had to say. But he was talking about leaving bondage. Amen. Crossing the desert. And the desert was going to blossom. Amen. I mean, you were going to find pools of water. You were going to find those beautiful palm trees that he prayed for us this morning. But brother, there's a lot of dry, hot sand before you get, amen, to the oasis. Praise God. And I hope today, if the Lord would be with me, amen, that I can help us to have the faith, amen, to last from the bondage, from stepping out, amen, and crossing the desert until we arrive at the place where God does everything that He's promised to do, amen. Down there in Caracas, we go to a prison outside of town, a ladies' prison there. We find a lot of prisoners from all over the world. I mean, there's South Africans we're ministering to. I don't even know all those places. Nigerian, a couple of Nigerians have been there. Amen. Just on and on the story goes. Some from the Caribbean islands. Several from England. Amen. And my wife, she could tell you more. I can't remember. But I mean, ladies from all over the world that are there because of drugs, usually. Amen. Trying to transport drugs back and forth. And, you know, get in there and get to talk to them. Amen. Get to visit with them. I like that. Amen. I enjoy telling people and offering people hope. Amen. For their circumstances. Praise God. But the reason we got started going to that prison was because of a friend named Margaret. Amen. When we first went to Venezuela in 1991, we met some people. Went back in 1992 and lived there for 6 months. We visited there in the slum, the barrio area where their church was located. A man, Carlos, his wife Margaret, she was from the Caribbean island of Grenada, so she spoke English, and we were from America, and we didn't speak Spanish, amen, at that time very well. And so we just kind of fell in there, and Margaret became a real close contact because she could speak English, amen. We visited their church. Our 6 months ended. We came home to America. We got home, discovered Nathan was on the way. We stayed here. Our son was born, but we had continued to itinerate. By the time he was 9 months old, we moved back down there to Caracas, amen, and tried to pick up where we left off and start and go. We went right back up to the barrio, amen, and no longer was that church in existence. Carlos was backslid, the pastor. His wife, Margaret, had backslidden. I mean, it was a long story, and it's a big mess, but we continue to go there and continue to talk to them and reason with them and try to tell them, you know, that there was hope they could turn around. God could still save them, amen, and save their marriage and straighten things out, but they never would respond to the calling of the Lord, amen. And Margaret, for as long as I can remember, from 1994, amen, until just in the last recent weeks almost, she has never responded. All the visiting, all the praying, all the talking, all the counseling we've done. Amen. Marriage fell apart. Lost that. Amen. Lost her home. Lost everything. She moved down to the seacoast there, about 12 miles from the city of Caracas, December of 1999. Some of you may remember hearing about a great tragedy that struck Venezuela. Mudslides coming down those mountains. The International Red Cross says as many as 50,000 people disappeared out into the Caribbean Sea and under the mud and the rocks and the mire in those few couple of days, that period of time. Amen. She survived that. Amen. I mean, the barrio slums all around where she lived were totally wiped out or covered up in mud, but Margaret survived. But she still wouldn't respond to the Lord. Amen. We prayed with her, brother. We talked to her. We'd go and visit her, and it never seemed to have any effect. One day the phone rang. It was Margaret on the phone calling my wife to tell her, Kim, can you come and visit me? I'm in prison now. Amen. It's something about drugs, you know. She got caught doing something. National Guard hauled her in, sent her to jail. Amen. She's been in there. I don't even know how long she's even been in there now. Nearly a year now. Never been to trial. Never had a chance to go into court. They doesn't know anything. Whether she's guilty or not guilty, doesn't know anything at all. And so Margaret has been in a bad shape. Amen. A few months ago, we went there. I preached in the service that they had there in the prison. Margaret, that day, did respond for the first time, came forward, but she wouldn't really pray. Amen. She really never would open up her heart and pray. So I really don't know if anything happened that day at all. Amen. Several weeks went by. And then just here a few weeks ago, the phone rang. It was Margaret. She was happy. She's never happy. She was excited. She's never excited. And she began to tell my wife about how she'd gotten saved and straightened out, and the Lord was helping her and everything. And oh, my wife's excited. How did it happen, Margaret? What was it? And she said, well, Sister Kim, Sister So-and-so, a liberal charismatic church that goes there and visits also, amen, sister so-and-so laid hands on me and began to pray for me and prophesied and said that I was going to have a ministry here and that hundreds of people were going to come to know the Lord because of my ministry here in this prison and this and that was going to happen. And oh, Kim, I'm excited. I'm not going to turn around now. I'm not going to let go of the Lord. Well, if it has to happen that way, that's fine, amen. I'm glad when it happens, if it really happens. But you know what, brother and sister, amen. The touchy-feely wore off, amen. That lady doesn't come anymore. And it's the same woman that lays her hands on people and prophesies. I talked to Cindy from England the other day, black girl from England the other day. I ain't going back to that church, she said. I said, why? And she, or to the service. She said, because that woman, all she does when people come in, the first one is to get to her, tell her everything we've done. And so she gets up there and prophesies over us. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Amen. So many times, just because you see and you feel a little something like Margaret, you're sucked in. Amen. And we get caught up and we think, oh, now I'm going to change. Now I know the Lord loves me. Now I know He cares about me. But brother and sister, amen, Thomas, he was that way. He wouldn't believe until he could see it, until he could feel it, until he could touch it, amen. But brother, that's a dangerous way to live, amen. It's being forced to see it before you'll believe it, praise God. Amen. The Lord loves us today, whether we see it, whether we feel it, whether we, even whether you believe it or not, He still loves us, amen. Brother Norris was talking today, praise God, about what God could do and what God would do, amen, in our lives, brother. But I want you to know, it's going to take more than just seeing something like he was talking about. We live in a desert. You don't see those things every day, amen. But praise God, we still know that God loves us, amen. Call of God, and this is supposed to be missions emphasis, amen. I'm trying to today, not just to talk to just missionaries though, but to all of us that are ministers called of God, amen, to witness and to spread the gospel to our neighborhoods wherever they may be, amen, pastors, evangelists, whomever, amen, all included. But the call of God, how many of you have ever doubted the call of God on your life, amen, or doubted, may I say, the will of God, amen, doubted that you were in the will of God, and why? Because sometimes we don't see the results that we would like to see. We don't see the results that we think we ought to see. Amen. I've probably told this here before, at least at the down at the church. Amen. Before. Amen. I remember when I went to Crockett in 1994 this time, and we moved there permanently. There, I remember from my previous visits, there was this old theater. Amen. La Castellana, in a certain section of town, right on the main avenue, you know, and it's all abandoned theater. And Brother Hudson, I remember, I had these crazy notions in my head that I was going to go down there and, you know, and something was going to happen and God, amen, was going to give me that theater and we was going to raise up a great big massive church, you know, amen. And I'm not saying you ought not believe for big things. Please don't misunderstand me. But one day we got moved down and I thought, it's time. I'm going to go by there. I'm going to lay my hands on that chain link fence around that abandoned building and I'm going to pray. I went down there, amen. I laid my hands on the chain link fence and the thing was gone, amen. They had torn it down, amen, in my absence in that year and a half. It wasn't there, Brother Taylor. May I tell you, brother and sister, just because you don't see the results that you would like to see or that you envision to see at one time, does that mean that you're out of God's will? Does that mean you ought not do what God's called you to do? Does it mean that somehow either God slipped up and messed up or you missed Him altogether? Does it mean that? No, my friend. It just means you've got to have faith and believe, amen. Be believing, not seeing, not feeling necessarily, but be believing, amen, and hold on, amen. I've told this to him several times, and I don't tell this just to make him feel good, but Brother Mark Hudson, amen, several years ago wrote a letter. I think he must have wrote it to several of the alumni, if I'm not mistaken, but no? Just for me, praise God, and red hot from heaven, amen. He sent me a letter, amen, and he, but you said brethren in there, but anyway, whatever, he's talking, he said brethren this and this and this, different things that God just recently laid on his heart, and the things, you know, about having faith and, you know, believing God and holding on, you know, and about preachers falling, you know, by the wayside and things, and I told him this many times, amen, and it's an honest truth, amen. I left Crocus on Monday morning, amen, and just Sunday afternoon or either Saturday night or Sunday night late, amen, I
got reached over the file cabinet, and I got that letter one more time, amen. And I read down through that thing, praise God, amen. And brother, you know what? I want you to know, amen, it's just as true today as it ever was, amen. Brother and sister, just because things don't pan out like you thought, amen, it doesn't mean you've missed God, amen. It doesn't mean you've messed up or you somehow got off base in what you thought, you know, that it was really the Lord calling you up to. Brother and sister, I remember Brother Kraft. Amen, Brother Kraft. Does he still have a farm out? I don't know if they still got the farm out there. But anyway, Brother Kraft had a farm out here. Brother Kraft used to, I'd go out there once in a great while with Billy Meyer. Amen, when he was visiting his girlfriend at that time. And we'd go out there, and Brother Kraft, he'd be coming in on that tractor, you know, and boof, you know, the dust just a-flying everywhere. Amen. And you know, I've thought about that I don't know how many times. Missouri, right down here in this corner, Missouri, this is probably not the best farming land in the whole world, is it? I doubt it. It really is. Amen. I mean, Brother Kraft had piles of rocks around proving that this was not the easiest place, you know. Not everybody, Brother, where's, I don't see him today, but from up, brother, up at Ames, Iowa, I forgot his name. Brother Pilcher, huh? Brother Pilcher, now he gets up here and he's preaching, and he brags about, you know, all the corn and, you know, man, all this stuff. And, I mean, it must be really nice up there for those farmers. Amen. But it's not that way everywhere. But brother and sister, have you ever known a farm? I don't mean some guy that had this scheme in his head, he's going to get rich, you know, because the government gave a subsidy on soybeans or something, he's going to grow soybeans and get rich and, you know, live happily ever after. I don't mean that. But I mean a real farmer, you know, one of them kind of guys that this is what I like, this is what I need to be doing, I like this life and I'm going to stick with it. Have you ever known a real farmer, Brother Cox, that sold his land, sold out barn, house, everything, tractors and all, to buy property on the other county? Just because for the last 3 years in a row, the other county averaged 2 inches more in rainfall than his county had? Have you ever known anybody, a real farmer that was really tied to the land, that looked around and thought, you know, so many other places just right over there, the land is so much better, and you know, and we've just, it's been dry around here. I'm going to sell out and go buy me where they've got more rainfall. Maybe you do, but I don't. I don't know of any of them like that. Amen. And you know why, brother and sister? It's because the farmer's smart enough to know, amen, that just because there's a little bit of rainfall over there for right now, number one, it may not always be over there right now. Amen. And it may leave right over there, and it may come right up here where I'm at. And so what do you do when you're a farmer? You don't chase the rainfall. Amen. You don't wait. Those guys up there in Iowa, amen, they don't wait, praise God, until May to see if the crop is really going to be abundant this year and sell out and go try to replant real quick so they can get into harvest by July or whenever they harvest corn up there. I don't know. Or September maybe. I don't know. But brother and sister, you just stick with it and you stay with it because you know this is your land. This is your plot of ground. This is where you are going to raise the harvest. Amen. Brother and sister, preachers, pastors, missionaries, evangelists, saints of God, don't give up just because you don't see all the results that you want to see. Amen. Amen. Brother, is his name Brother Ho, Jeff Ho, that preached or that spoke this morning briefly? Amen. I tell you what, I liked that testimony. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know Brother and Sister Musser, he mentioned them today. They come down here with the young people group here just in August. Amen. I mean, those are fine folks. I remember seeing them floating around here back when I was in Bible school. Brother Branham was still here, but I never got to know the Mussers. But I'm telling you what, those are fine people. I like them. Amen. But he was talking anyway about wherever they all come from up there in Illinois. Amen. He was talking about his little sister. I think her name was Peggy. And talked about their, you know, their mama went to church, amen, that day, that Sunday, because the daughter was so bad off, and handed them to Brother Roberts, is that who he said, was pastor? Handed it to her, handed it to him, amen, said he held that little girl in his arms, and of course they prayed, and you heard the story just like I did, amen. Brother, I tell you what, whew, I get the chills on stuff like that. That's nice, I like it, I love it. But when he said that, even then, and I'm not taking away from anything, I'm not at all, but when he said that, something clicked in my heart and said, and Chuck, what if you never see another Peggy bound out of some preacher's arms? Are you going to doubt the healing is real? Brother and sister, how many of us here today, how many of you folks, you've buried husbands, you've buried wives perhaps, maybe you've even buried your children, many have buried your parents, And we were praying and praying and praying and praying till the last minute. And nothing happened. Should we give up on believing that God still heals? Amen. Friends, I dare say we ought not. Amen. But rather we ought to just get a greater affinity for the fact and for the truth of the matter than we've ever had before, and just tie it to our breast and say, I will not let go because I know it's real. Amen. Amen. And I'll try to close here. I grew up, South Central Oklahoma. Brother Dennis Meyer, he was here first, or either Monday or Tuesday night. I got to talk to him for a little while. He was my pastor from the time I was 3 years old up until I moved up here to Neosho in Bible school and all, got married. But we were talking about old days, you know, and he's telling me, and I couldn't believe it. I thought they didn't come till I was like 5 years old, but he said they came when I was 3 years old there. Well, the pastor before him, his name was Roland, Brother Roland, excuse me. And I don't remember very much about Brother Roland, but I specifically remember being in church there, and this would have been before us, or at three, or just a little before. I specifically, Brother Martin, remember sitting in that old sanctuary down there in Fletcher, amen, looking up, and I remember seeing Brother Roland in the pulpit, and I remember him preaching, and I remember what he was preaching about, amen. I don't remember anything else except one subject, and I can still, to this day, from 2 or 3 years old, I can still, as clear as a bell, see Brother Roland up there preaching about the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. He left the church there, and then Brother Meyer came there, and there I was 3 years old, and you know, and began to grow and everything. And I was telling Brother Meyer, I mean, that's been a pile of years ago. That's 34 years ago when he would have come to our church to pastor. And you know what? Amen. Brother Scott, Brother Brother Carper, amen. He grew up in the same church, so I knew him when he was a little booger. Amen. But Brother Carper, I don't remember a whole lot of stuff Brother Meyer ever preached about, but I do remember he often and frequently preached about the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. 34 years of remembering people preaching about the coming of Jesus Christ. And it ain't happened yet. Amen. So, I assume, if we're going to go by seeing is believing, that we might as well just tear that page out of our doctrine book and stop preaching about Jesus coming. Do I have anybody here that would pat me on the back if I told you we ought to quit believing in the coming of the Lord? I dare say I've got some folks here saved enough to almost want to fight with me if I said such a blasphemous thing as that. Friend, I hope I don't have to convince anybody that we need to be faithful and hold on tight to believing that Jesus is coming. Do I? I don't think so. I believe you're all settled on that issue. Brother, if we're as settled on that, and we have never seen that, we have absolutely never experienced that, should we give up on any of the other things that we have seen at times past, or as John said it here, but these are written that you might believe. Amen. Friends, the blessing comes because you hold fast. Amen. Even when you haven't seen anything. Praise God. Now, I don't know. As a kid, I always loved war stories. I like to play army. You know, James and Nathan, all them little fellas down in the creek there by the church, by the parsonage there, they're playing army all the time, you know. I don't know if that's good or not, but I did when I was a little kid. Amen. I loved army. I loved listening to my uncle and my dad tell army stories from World War II. I just love that stuff, man. I just ate it up. Amen. But World War II really wasn't that way. World War I, more so, but not really. But in American history, I believe it would have to be the Civil War that qualifies as the only true war of attrition that America has ever seen. Amen. You know what a war of attrition is? You just keep lining them fellers up there and shoot them down, line up another row of them, shoot them down, and whoever happens to have some left at the end, he wins the battle. Amen. I mean, I read some of them stories of Civil War and Revolutionary War, and I think, how dumb could them guys be to fight like they did? They never tried to hide behind trees. They never tried to do any of that stuff. I mean, you just lined up, you know, and when you shot your friend out, you just kept scooting down close to the flag so that you always, the enemy always knew, shoot close to the flag, and you'll get somebody. Amen. And all that smoke and everything. War of attrition. Well, can I tell you that salvation in the Christian life is sort of like a war of attrition. Amen. In other words, just shoot to kill until you just wear the saints out. Amen. I mean, that's what the devil is trying to do, is he not? I mean, he is attacking our faith on every hand. I mean, people get sick, people die, amen, and we pray, and God... And sometimes we are attacked in our faith to say that it just doesn't make sense. I don't, maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I didn't quite get it right there in Bible school. Maybe I was asleep that day when the preacher or the teacher talked about that subject. Friend, I want you to know today, amen, this is a war of attrition. And so the only salvation for the soldier is to simply stand up and say, I will not give in. Amen. Brother and sister, I want you to know, if I never see a Peggy, amen, I believe God, amen, for the results to come out of this prayer line today. I hope nobody thinks I'm trying to preach the other side of the picture. Not at all. I'm just saying, what do you do until the miracle comes? You have to simply stand and take hold. Preacher, what do you do until somebody gets saved in your church? You're just going to have to get up there and preach every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Saturday, whatever, whenever you have services. You're going to have to get up there and preach, and you're going to have to get up there the next time and preach, and you're going to have to get up there the next time and preach anyway, because it's true, because it's right, because God is just and He's fair, and He will always, amen, reward faithfulness. Praise God. May I tell you today, faithfulness and stickability are the two characteristics, I believe, amen, that we need in able to reach this world for Jesus. Amen. We're going to have to stand and preach. Brother Hill, is that you? Right there, okay. Brother Hill, I mean, I read in books, some of your books and stuff. I mean, how long, brother, have you been preaching that stuff? My, 40 years, that's longer than I've been born. And there's liable to be somebody here, if not right now, there will be, I'm sure, in this evening service, that's probably been preaching it longer than that. And have you seen every single thing you've preached about, have you ever seen it all come to pass? Probably not. I mean, I've never seen the coming of the Lord. But are we going to stop believing it? Are we going to stop preaching it? I mean, I've preached to sinners all the time. I never get up in the pulpit there in Venezuela without seeing sinners. Amen. I never, never, never have, as far as I can remember. Amen. Never can remember seeing it, preaching service that there wasn't sinners there. But not every service somebody got saved. And even some of them that prayed, not all of them stuck it out. Amen. But brother, you know what I do? I just keep getting up there and keep preaching because I know it's right and I know God is faithful and God will do His work. Amen. I'm quitting with this. Amen. We went down there in 1994, went up in the barrio there, visiting Margaret. They were lost and they weren't going to turn to the Lord, but God worked out a situation. We met a family. Moved in on Sunday mornings to this little room and began to have Sunday school services there. This family came. Mother from Trinidad, the dad from Tobago, so right off the coast of Venezuela, and English-speaking people, I mean, just as black as midnight they are, amen. They came to church, and they were the first family to get saved, and they were with us for a long time, but then one thing happened, another thing happened, and dad drinking and drugs and this and that, and gone, he's gone. And then the mom, you know, she had her situations and problems, and she was gone, and so that dragged the kids out. And so, I mean, years have gone by. We see them; they still live in the same bar. We see them. I invite them to church and talk to them. And dad, he's always drunk, and I always tell him to come to church and tell him about the Lord and things. But that's it. Nothing. 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 But you know what? Young people came down there this summer in August. Amen. We dressed Brother Musser up, amen, in that uniform back there. You'll see in the pictures. Amen. We had a big kids' crusade, and I didn't even know the boy prayed. I mean, just somebody came and showed him to me, brought him up there and presented him to me and said, this boy prayed. They didn't know I even knew him. And anyway, and you know, as far as I know, none of the OBI kids that were down there, they, you know, I don't even know if they, none of them ever really, you know, went up to him and got to know him and everything. So, I mean, I don't even know for sure, Brother Cantor, when it happened, but he prayed in the meeting. And you know what? Contrary to his family history, contrary to everything I've ever known to come out of that household, He ain't missed one single service. Amen. He's been there early every single time. Amen. He comes in that door, got his Bible, and he goes straight to the front bench. Ain't nobody else sits on the front bench but Nathan sometimes. Amen. But Kester comes in there and sits on that front bench. Amen. And he ain't going to move. And I've talked to him, and he knows his mom, and he knows his daddy, and he knows what a mess they're in, and he's been faithful. And brother and sister, I know I stopped and prayed. You know, I don't even know when that happened. I don't remember the night that he prayed. I get out there in the crowd and try to pray with everybody that come forward and stuff, but I didn't know he came. I don't remember it, at least. But, hey, it works. And not because we were there when it happened. It works because God said he would do it just like that. Friend, may I encourage you this morning, or this afternoon, be faithful. Don't quit. Amen. Sister Yates back there, amen. I remember Brother Joe Yates and you coming to church there when I was a little kid, booger I was, coming to the church and preaching revivals. Man, I remember hearing Brother Yates testify about how he was dying with cancer and God raised him up there. And I know Brother Yates, years went by, amen. God had healed him. Years went by, he contracted cancer, a different form of cancer, and he died with it. And I you stop and think about that, and you start, well, now I wonder if back then, you know, brother and sister, I tell you what, I ain't backing up at all. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter anything. Amen. Brother Branham never smoked a cigarette, as far as I know, a day in his life. I mean, a man of God from his childhood that served the Lord. And there, you know, and I know that was, that some people tell me that are close to him, tell me that was one thing that really bothered Brother Branham, you know, thinking about that, you know, that he'd rather die of a heart attack or something different, you know. But brother, can I tell you what? I don't think Brother Branham, I don't think Brother Joe Yates, I don't think nobody would want us to back up one inch. Amen. They'd want us to stand firm and say, Jesus still is Jesus of the Bible. And he still heals. He still saves. Amen. Whether you see it or not, whether it happens to you or not, whether your church gets packed out and overflowing or not, Jesus is still alive. And he still does everything he ever said he would do. Amen. Let's stand this afternoon. Brother Taylor, amen. How do you want to do it? You want to come up here? Amen. Okay, let me invite you in here today to pray. And if by chance, amen, in spite of all you've seen and experienced in this meeting, if you have wondered and quavered because you don't see it on a regular basis, sir, you haven't seen it quite like you want it, let me encourage you this afternoon to call on the Lord and say, God, restore and renew my heart so that I can be a minister faithful in the gospel. Amen. Let's come.